The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. On our program today, we are very pleased to welcome the Jupiter String Quartet as the String Quartet in Residence at the School of Music at the University of Illinois. And of course, WILL is a division of sorts of the University of Illinois. We're on their campus, and it's a privilege to have them on the show because they're going to play for us live. They're brand new to our area. They are giving their opening performance in our area Thursday night as the opening night concert of the 6th Annual Allerton Music Barn Festival at Allerton Park in Monticello, a program that includes music of Ravel, Webern, and Schubert, where they'll be joined by cellist Dmitry Kuzov, also of the University of Illinois faculty. And they are going to perform one of those works in its entirety for us live in our studio today. It happens to be one of my own favorites, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to meeting them and helping to introduce them to you. The Jupiter String Quartet on Live and Local. Stay tuned. Thank you. That was the performance of the second movement of the string quartet in E minor, Opus 44, number 2, by Felix Mendelssohn. It was played by the Pacifica Quartet, who until recently, very recently, were the string quartet in residence at the University of Illinois School of Music. I think they were the first ever string quartet in residence that we had here. And they have moved to Indiana University, the School of Music there. And in their place, starting now, which is to say, I guess yesterday, technically, are the Jupiter String Quartet. And we are very pleased to have them live on our show today. They're going to be giving their opening performance in our area Thursday night at the Allerton Music Barn Festival. It's also kicking off that festival for a 7:30 performance at Allerton Park in Monticello. The Jupiter Quartet are sisters, Liz and Megan Freifogel. Liz plays viola in the quartet. Megan is the second violinist. Daniel McDonough, who is married to one of the sisters, plays cello in the group. And Nelson Lee plays the first violin part. And there seems to be something of a precedent at the School of Music here to hire quartets where there's at least one married couple within the group, and with and yours has especially intricate connections otherwise, because, you know, having sisters, and then you have known each other variously for a while, that led to your formation. So rather than my stumbling over the formation of your group, let me say thanks for coming in, and very glad to have you. And somebody tell us how the Jupiter String Quartet became a quartet.
I guess I could field this one. Daniel, Meg, and I, Nelson, were all at the Cleveland Institute of Music back in 2000-2002, approximately. And I, for one, know that I was graduating with my master's degree at that point, and I was sort of contemplating various options about what to do with my career and with, you know, future endeavors involving music. And I knew definitely that I wanted, that chamber music was a big passion of mine. And I had played together with all of them in different formations. And I thought it would be a good idea for us to sit down and play quartets together. I don't think any of us envisioned that it would become sort of this long-term career-oriented existence, but it sort of became that way. I think we had a pretty strong musical connection the first time we sat down and read together, and we had similar principles and ideals, and we got along. So we've been together ever since, through thick and thin.
So you said three of you met there.
Yeah, and Oberlin, and Liz was at Oberlin College, not too far away.
So did the initial three meet with a different fourth?
No, we met initially with Liz, and I guess Meg and Liz knew each other somehow, being sisters. They
somehow or another,
spent some time together, and the first time we met, I think, was in New York City, like the four of us, this formation.
So this was really kind of your first quartet. Well, I mean, you all must have played another quartet at different times.
We did, actually. Yeah, we've all had a history playing a lot of chamber music growing up and also in school. Liz and I had a family string quartet that we played with our brothers in. So we grew up fighting and playing, loving playing together in that. And then we were apart for some of college, and then I decided it would be fun to play again after that. And all of us went to the Taos School of Music during the summer. And that's a place where they mix and match people in different on different repertoire, in different combinations. So we had all played together in some way, but not the four of us specifically.
And remind me, where is Taos?
It's in New Mexico, Taos, New Mexico.
I knew it was out west somewhere.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, I'm sure. I've heard of it and seen pictures of it and heard of people who've gone, and wonderful place to be.
Yeah.
And then Oliver, you have, I'm sorry, Nelson. I'm going to get this confused because we have Oliver Nelson coming on Friday's
show.
Who's a jazz saxophonist, and his dad, a particularly famous jazz saxophonist. And in fact, when I was told that Oliver Nelson, blah, 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 I thought his name was something else. Anyway, Nelson Lee, you've got a sort of a family music thing going on too, or did?
Yeah, my entire family is a family of musicians. My parents are both pianists. My father also a conductor. And I have two sisters who are identical twins, and they play the cello and clarinet. And actually, on top of that, I'm married to a cellist, and her entire family is musicians also. So it's just a crazy, big, extended family of musicians that I'm part of. And the funny thing is, actually, my father and my wife's mother were at Juilliard together at the same time, and they remember being in the same piano literature class at this back in the early 70s, I think. So that's sort of a very funny connection that me and my wife have.
So if Daniel ever gets sick, does that mean you have a built-in substitute?
Actually, funny yes. You ask. Yeah. Well, Meg and I recently had our first child. She had the child. I didn't have anything to do with it, but
you had something to do with it.
I mean, a little bit. But
and he was
She did the heavy lifting. She did all the heavy lifting, and I was around. But in any case, we had to take a maternity and paternity leave, and Nelson's wife was able to fill in, as well as Meg and Liz's younger brother, who's a professional musician.
He actually plays in the Jasper Quartet, who's going to come play on the Krannert Center Chamber Series.
Oh, seriously?
This year. Yeah.
Wow.
So there you go. You've learned all our
There'll
secrets.
There'll be a quiz in about half an hour for everyone listening.
I am already thoroughly confused. The program that you're doing at the Allerton Music Barn Festival has on it one of my own favorite string quartets, and I'm delighted that you're actually going to be playing the whole thing on the show today, mm-hmm. which is the quartet by Maurice Ravel. I guess I'm not surprised that you're not doing also the Debussy quartet, because they so often get recorded together. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't have been surprised if you had decided to. But instead, on the program, you're doing some music of Webern, which surely doesn't get played very often. Yeah. And it's not a piece I know.
That's an early piece by Webern. Webern, of course, is very famous for being part of that triumvirate of guys who kind of shook the music world at the beginning of the 20th century, namely Schoenberg and Berg. But this was before he became a 12-tone guy. So this is actually a very romantic piece, almost like late Wagner or something. And it's just a slow movement that he wrote when he was young. But we like to pair it with the Schubert, which is on the second half of the program. That's the cello quintet, because it's a brief piece, and the Schubert is almost an hour in length. So we like to make the first half not too long, so that people aren't weary by the end of the Schubert. So the other interesting thing about that Webern is that it was written just at the same time as the Ravel, at the very beginning of the 20th century, but so different in their language, the two of them.
And then the Schubert is a piece, again, I don't know that one, and you'll be featuring the other faculty cellist, mm-hmm. Dmitry Kuzov. Mm-hmm. It seems funny for me to now say the other faculty cellist, because I'm not used to Daniel being the other faculty cellist.
Yeah. I think I'm Brandon the other Ramos. Faculty cellist.
You are the other, faculty that's right. Dmitry now, the veteran of all of not very many years here.
Yeah.
I'm sort of forgetting how long he's been here. How do you go about, I mean, you give a little bit of an insight in how you decided this program, but in general, how do you go about deciding a concert program?
We try to have a variety of pieces, usually. Oftentimes we'll start with something a little more classical in style, Haydn or Mozart, something along those lines, early Beethoven. And then usually we'll do something a little more contemporary, whether it's from a modern day composer, or I guess 20th century still counts as contemporary these days. So we'll usually do that second, and then end with something a little more romantic and standard. That's sort of our general guideline, but it's not always that way. There are so many great pieces for this combination of instruments that we just kind of pick which pieces we like the best and play them, and we haven't run out yet.
Yeah, well, there's an awful lot of music for string quartet.
I hope
you like a lot of it.
We like a lot of it.
We're lucky in that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll be celebrating this year also the 100th anniversary of his birth, mm-hmm. of Benjamin Britten's birth, by playing the three quartets of Benjamin Britten. That'll actually span over the spring and the fall of next year at the Krannert. In any case, there are three wonderful quartets that aren't played as often as they should be. So we look for kind of gems in the literature that deserve to be heard in concert halls more often. But we also kind of, our bread and butter is still Beethoven and Bartok and Haydn and the guys who kind of put the string quartet on the map.
Well, you actually anticipated my next question, which was, in relation to the Pacifica Quartet, I assume you guys know them at least a little bit.
Yeah,
pretty well.
Yeah.
They were in the habit of doing complete cycles. They did all the Beethovens, they did all the Shostakovich's, and I forget what all. They did all the Bartoks here. Mm-hmm. Is that something that the Jupiters are likely to do, or is that not necessarily your thing?
Well, no, we just did a Beethoven cycle a couple of years ago, and we're doing another one next year. I'm afraid that we haven't actually asked the Krannert Center, but I'm guessing that it's a little too soon to do another Beethoven cycle here. but we'll have to let some years pass probably before we hear 16 Beethoven quartets again at the Krannert
Center. How about a Schubert cycle?
That would be nice. We are doing some Schubert this year, the quintet, the great G major, and also an early E-flat quartet.
Those pieces are huge.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah. Schubert is famous for writing long pieces, but wonderful pieces. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have to have an enduring audience, I think. but enduring through a lot of beautiful music. Well, we are going to be hearing you just about right now playing all of the string quartet by Maurice Ravel. They'll be playing this on the concert with Schubert Cello Quintet and music by Webern on Thursday night at the Allerton Music Barn Festival. And you are hearing them live, they being the Jupiter String Quartet. This is their debut performance in our area, right here.
This is it.
Even preceding the official debut on Thursday night. Very glad to hear you. Right now, live on Live and Local. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And try to say something, and I find I almost can't now.
It's weird not to have any applause.
We can applaud. We can
no,
applaud. That was the Jupiter String Quartet giving a live performance of the String Quartet in F by Maurice Ravel. They are, the Jupiters are, Nelson Lee and Megan Freifogel on the violin, Liz Freifogel, viola, and Daniel McDonough. Cello, they are the new String Quartet in Residence at the University of Illinois. They'll be playing that piece and a much longer one by Franz Schubert, his cello quintet featuring fellow University of Illinois faculty member, cellist Dmitry Kuzov, and also music by Anton Webern at the Allerton Music Barn Festival Thursday night at 7:30, and they were live here on Live and Local. Support for our show today comes from the Community Blood Services of Illinois. Blood donations decrease during the summer months, but patient needs remains the same year-round. There are no substitutes for donated blood, and donation takes only 45 minutes. Blood donation, it's about life. For more information, you can phone 367-2202. As I was listening and especially watching you all, since I had that advantage, which our radio listeners don't have, however, we are doing some video of this performance, so you'll see something up on our website soon. I was kept thinking about some contrast between yourselves, visually speaking, and your predecessors here, the Pacifica Quartet, but rather than enumerate them, or even because it was just a mental list and it was more interesting than substantive, I'm going to actually quote from part of a review that's on your website that talks about more similarities between potentially than differences. This is from something called The Other Paper, which I guess is Columbus, Ohio. And somebody who had apparently just seen the Ying Quartet, which is another string quartet. And he says, quote, what I loved about, I'm saying he, I don't know, it reads like it's a he. What I loved about the Ying Quartet a couple of weeks ago, I loved about the Jupiters. Namely, it was passionate from the first note on, and it wasn't an ordinary fake Dave Matthews style emo weenie passion, but a mind body wooden instrument and horsehair passion, the likes of which you don't see in most groups, except for every string quartet I've ever seen, which is two now.
That is tough on Dave Matthews.
End quote, yeah. But so this is somebody who the rest of the interview, you know, makes it at least suggest this person doesn't necessarily know a whole lot about classical music, but is attuned to it somehow or another. And the whole string quartet experience is new to him or her, and he's completely blown away. And I felt the same way, even though I've seen and heard many string quartets. But passion was all the way through it, visually and orally, but it's a very different kind of passion than, say, the Pacifica have or some of the other others do.
You can't, it's so hard to compare. That's the wonderful thing, in a way, is that there's no way to imitate anyone. Even if you tried, you wouldn't be able to do it. You just have to be honest with what you feel the music should convey, and then hopefully it resonates with the listeners.
And the communication is something among musical groups of any kind, whether it's classical or jazz or old-time players, that's always fascinating to me. And that was, in a way, sort of a contrast. There's always eye contact. There has to be in chamber groups, maybe especially string quartets. Mm-hmm. But yours was of a different nature than, say, the Pacifica's. Liz, for example, sometimes you weren't even looking at anybody but the back of your eyelids,
yeah,
you know, at
I think
times.
I do that when I'm concentrating.
Yeah, and but that also says something about how well you absorbed. And I know when I'm conducting a group with a soloist, for example, I know technically you're supposed to watch the soloist a lot, but I find myself just, it's all ears and you absorb it that way. And communication happens so many different ways. And anyway, that's just one of my personal observations.
Yeah, we sometimes need to use our eyes. But most importantly, we have to show each other what we want to say with the sound. So if we really are listening.
Sometimes we actually practice with our eyes closed when you're having trouble on a part. It kind of just takes out one sense. And mm-hmm.
When you're having trouble, so what kind of trouble would that solve?
If a particular section doesn't seem to be gelling with one another, sometimes it just helps. And we will make our students do this sometimes as well. It just helps you focus on the hearing a little more when you take out the visual aspect.
And I imagine I imagine there's other times, since you mentioned working mm-hmm. with students, which of course you'll be doing here at the university, both as private and as chamber music mm-hmm. coaches. I imagine there's plenty of other times where the solution to a particular problem might be you gotta watch each other more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I think the way we communicate has also changed over the 10 years we've, or 11 years we've been together. You do have to have a lot of visual communication, and we still do, you know, especially in specific spots. But I think we've learned and have gotten to know each other so well now that we can use our ears a little bit more and not use our eyes all of the time. But obviously it's a combination of the two. And you kind of are, you know, looking out of the corners of your eyes all the time, just checking in with everyone. I think we have, you know, we have music in front of us, but I think most of us have the notes memorized. So it's just sort of there as like an outline in case we freak out. So, you know, we really have absorbed this music so that we hopefully know it inside out.
And I think the hope, especially in a performance situation, is that we can do different things than we're used to, even in rehearsal. Hopefully we can change things up in performance and be spontaneous and try different timings and colors. And everyone, if your eyes are open and your ears are open, you can react to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all those notes that I screwed up, that was me trying to do something
spontaneous.
Right. Throws the music in a different direction.
So you have your scapegoat prepared.
Right, exactly. I was just being spontaneous. Yeah. Spontaneously out of tune.
You know, I forgot to ask you right at the very beginning about your name, the Jupiter String Quartet. You've got a couple of reasons for it, at least, it seems.
Yeah, the most important reason is that we just liked the way it sounded. We liked the connotations that come along with the Roman god of kind of joy and strength. And we found out later, which was a lovely coincidence, that The astrological symbol for Jupiter is a four. It's in the shape of a four. And also, when we formed the quartet, which was in January, Jupiter happened to be the brightest star in the sky. So there were some nice reasons, I guess, to choose Jupiter. But primarily, we thought it would translate well into other languages, mm-hmm. And it had a nice kind of universal quality to it.
Do you know some of the other translations of Jupiter?
Jupiter. No, that's the one I know.
So that is actually one.
Basically,
Quartor Jupiter, maybe, or something like that.
Identifiable in many languages.
Yeah, people usually understand.
We have a Spanish friends in Spain who would like to pronounce it that way.
Speaking of things that many people around the world will understand, I have a burning question for you, given that two of your members have the last name of Freifogel. Mm-hmm. Do you have an arrangement of Freebird?
We don't. People have asked us
that before. That would be really fun.
We should.
Yeah.
It's consider it your assignment before your next live
next
and local
time.
Performance.
Somebody's
going to
shout out, "Free Bird!"
Has that happened?
No.
No? It will now.
I mean, maybe we'll get more rowdy with this Craner audience. I don't know. We'll see. But it tends not to be the kind of audience that shouts at us. But,
if people start,
we're open. We're open to
people start throwing their clothes on stage. And
it depends where you play.
Yeah.
You know, play at one of the clubs around. Have you done that? I mean, there's a lot of classical performers, particularly soloists and chamber performers, who seem to be going out into rock clubs and mm-hmm. places like that more and more often. And then often they may or may not tailor their repertoire to that space, but it seems to be happening more.
We've played in a lot of different types of spaces. I don't know if we've really played in a club.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't think
have we? We have a lot of friends that have, mm-hmm. though. It's definitely a big thing now, and I think it's a great thing to do.
We do like to challenge ourselves, and also we think it's our duty to create younger audiences and to nourish that part of our audience. So we do a lot of outreach in schools and in community centers and have kids come into the concert hall. That's more of what we do in terms of unconventional performance venues, I would say.
Mm-hmm. But I would also add that we really believe that we don't need to play, you know, we don't need to tailor our programs so much towards the audience. I mean, we really believe that we have this great music that I think we have a duty to kind of share with people. Mm-hmm. So we don't play a lot of arrangements of Purple Haze or anything like that, although it's fun. I think that we like to try to introduce people to Beethoven.
All the great music.
And the great music that we play.
It's funny, like, we usually when we do programs for really younger kids, elementary school age, and they react very well to the more obscure and sort of abstract music that we play mm-hmm. that sometimes regular audiences are sort of scared of.
They're much more open to it.
Yeah, they have a very much more open mind about it, and that's a really cool thing to see.
Yeah.
And they all love to, like, tell what they saw, like, mm-hmm. in their imaginations when they're listening to it. They're very creative. It's mm-hmm. nice.
Well, working with young people, whether at the college age or younger, is something that will be seeing the Jupiter String Quartet doing a great deal of mm-hmm. here as
really
they begin their residency at the University of Illinois. Just started this week with classes and so on, and their first performance locally, well, it's just now, as a matter of fact, but on Thursday night at the Allerton Music Barn Festival, 7:30 out at Allerton Park in Monticello. And speaking of clubs, there are a lot in our area, and here's some of the music that's going on at some of them in primarily Champaign-Urbana at the moment. Vivian McConnell and Isaac Arms will be at Clark Bar in Champaign tonight at 7 o'clock. The Diva and the Dude will be at Clark Bar tomorrow evening at 6:30. The Traditional Irish Music Session will be at Dublin O'Neill's in downtown Champaign tomorrow night at 8:30. David Howie at 301 Mongolian Champaign tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. The Gunny Sack Review is a show of bluegrass and gospel music where they invite attendees to join in and play if they want. That's at Yoder Center in Arthur tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And it's Tito Carrillo's CD release party. He's on the jazz faculty at the University of Illinois, trumpet and flugelhorn, and that's happening at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And in fact, Tito and his combo will be live on our show tomorrow, previewing that show and hyping the CD, which we'll have a little bit of here in just a second on live and local. You are listening to 90.9 WYL-FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR and Classical Music for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available on the Corkscrew's Facebook page. Liz and Megan Freifogel, Nelson Lee and Daniel McDonough, thank you very much for coming in and
thanks
for having us.
Introducing yourselves to our audience.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to our time here in Urbana. Yeah. It seems like a great place.
May it be long and productive.
Thank you.
It's live and local. Here's Tito Carrillo from his CD called Opening Statement. They'll be on the show tomorrow from 12 to 1.